The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We start with NFL Live on this busy Monday. He is Adam Schefter. I am Dan Graziano. Marcus Spears, Mike Tannenbaum will join us later. But Adam, we want to start in Washington, D.C., where the local NFL team announced this morning what we've been expecting for about a week and a half, that it will retire its controversial team nickname and replace it. No word on what the new team name will be, and they will continue, apparently, to use the old one until it has been replaced. Here's what the team had to say in an official statement this morning. On July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community apprised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing we will be retiring the name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud, tradition-rich franchise and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Adam, obviously, this is huge news. Team owner Dan Snyder said for years he would never change the name. So what led ultimately to him making this decision at this time?
Dan, you heard the word sponsors in that statement. And sponsors such as Nike and Pepsi and Federal Express put pressure on the Washington NFL franchise and made it known that they wanted a name change from a man in Dan Snyder who vowed that in his own words, he would quote unquote never change the team's nickname. But now he has. With the pressure from the sponsors, with the climate that we're living in, he just felt that he had little choice but to make that change at this point in time. And the truth of the matter is, Dan, from the moment they issued that press release on July 3rd, right before the holiday, and they said that they were undergoing a thorough review of their nickname, there was no way that Washington could bring back that name at this point in time and have people be okay with it. It just wasn't going to work. And the more conversations they had with the National Football League, with interest groups, with fans, with whoever it took, they recognized that that name was not going to be acceptable in this day and age.
So today's announcement is that the old name is out, but there's no announcement on what the new name will be. So what kind of timeline are they working on in terms of when we can expect to find out what the new name of the team will be?
Well, first and foremost, it takes teams oftentimes 12, 18 months to change logos, to change uniforms, to change a name. And the Washington NFL franchise at this point in time is fast-tracking this and making this as fast a process as it possibly can. And I won't be surprised if they have a new name in place by the start of training camp, whenever that is. But right now, they can't cement that decision because there are trademark issues to go through and there are all sorts of legal hurdles that they have to get through at this point in time. But when they can do that, obviously, sooner rather than fast or sooner rather than better at this point in time, they want to get this done, Dan. I think they're fast-tracking it. I think it'll be relatively soon, but again, it's hard to say exactly when that's going to be, other than it wouldn't surprise me if it were by the end of this month.
Start of training camp, of course, July 28th. That's only 2 weeks from tomorrow, so definitely a fast-track situation if that is when they'll have it. So more from Adam. Stick around, Adam. We'll have more from you later on in the show, of course. Washington quarterback Dwayne Haskins weighed in via Twitter, writing, "As a kid who grew up in the DMV, it'll always be HTTR, but looking forward to the future." So for more on this, we go to the DMV and we welcome in Jason Reed from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Jason, what has the reaction been around Washington, D.C. to this decision?
Well, Graz, as you know, there are many Washington football fans who love the name of that team. They identify that name with the team's glorious past, with Joe Jackson Gibbs and the three Super Bowl titles, with the Hogs, with Riggo. And really, there are many people who feel that the name should not be changed, but there are also many other people who feel that that name is a thing of the past, that is a racist name, and that in this climate, as Adam just previously mentioned, in this national reckoning about race that's occurring in this country right now, keeping that name, it just was no longer possible.
So what do you think, Jason, in terms of where they're headed in terms of a name, when we might see this this change finalized, and I guess just sort of how it how you expect this story to continue to play out?
Well, Dan, just to piggyback on what Adam said, I expect this to move very quickly. Talking with multiple sources over the last couple of days and this morning, the expectation is that this will be buttoned up, completely buttoned up, before the team reports to training camp, which should be July 28th, although we're not sure of that right now because of obviously the fluid events with the COVID situation. But in terms of what the league wants, what the hope is, what the expectation is that this will be a non-issue moving into training camp.
Yeah, we will have more, of course, on the start time of training camp and everything that's involved in that for all the teams, not just this one, later in the show. Meantime, Jason, thanks so much for joining us on NFL Live. Washington has held that same nickname for the past 87 seasons, which is the most consecutive seasons with the same nickname before a change in the history of the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, or the NHL. Over that 87 years, the franchise reached the playoffs 24 times and won 5 championships, including 3 Super Bowls. One of the men who helped them win 2 of those Super Bowls is Hall of Fame defensive back Darryl Green, who is kind enough to join us for a few moments on today's show. Darryl, thanks so much for being here. What is your reaction to this decision to change the name?
I have a very positive reaction to it. I think that, you know, if we're going to reconcile history, it's going to be complicated. So I'm good with complications. Playing cornerback, that's not a problem. And, you know, as we parse them out, sort of the accomplishments and the flaws and the mistakes and the destructive behaviors, all the difficult aspects, it all relates to human beings. And generally, when you're dealing with human beings, it's going to be problems that have to be solved. My attitude is that I remember years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was asked about this. And I said, if someone has been offended, then I think that it would be right to have a conversation. And so, but with that said, if we're going to really sort of address these things, and we're going to have to consider everything, we're going to have to consider, the different offensive actions, we're going to have to talk about conversations that need to be had. You know, I guess, for example, is there an apology need to be given? Is there, what are the measures that go through for the repairs, if there's repairs? And how do we get people who've been defrauded whole, if that's an issue? At the end of the day, the goal of any person or organization, you know, that has offended another human group, it's got to be recognized. It's got to be dealt with. And so I appreciate it. I really do. I really appreciate what Dan Snyder, Mr. Snyder, is doing at this juncture. It's no secret that the whole nation is under something right now. And in my vantage point, it's a good thing. But I think more importantly, it's not only it's a good thing, but it's not about highlighting the bad thing as much as moving forward toward what we can make it become. And that's what I appreciate about this process. And so I'm excited about it. And there's a lot to be said about it. In terms of how we move forward. And I have some thoughts about that. And more importantly, I wish I could have a voice in that process.
So, all right, well, you mentioned that, is an apology needed? Are there things that need to happen that go beyond a name change? Is that how you feel? And if so, what are some of those things?
Well, let me say this. I don't really so much want to talk about how I feel as much as what really is. Just because I played don't mean that I know everything. I certainly have played more than anybody in the history of the team. So I don't own the team. But, you know, when we talk about this, let's say, for example, when we talk about the issues of memorializing the past, how do you memorialize the past history, the offenses? How do you memorialize the positives? You know, will the Hall of Fame have to, you know, take, you know, will they send all of us new jerseys? Will we get rid of everything that's Redskins? And those are conversations. Everybody wants to be fighting. I don't think we're at a fighting place. You know, the scripture says years ago, and somebody asked me this earlier, they said, you know, why did he change? And you may have that in your notes. Why did we change? And I said, you know, there's a story in the Bible where two people were asked to do something. One said, I'm going to do it. The other one said, I'm not. The one that said, I'm going to do it, didn't. And the one who said, I'm not, did. The one who said, I'm not, did. He did the thing. And so which one of them really obeyed? Which one of them accomplished it? And so I don't, it's not about how and why. It's about we are here today. And that's what I'm grateful and I applaud Dan Snyder for this. This is, it's special. It's important. So, you know, we do have to have the conversations now. Okay, what are the steps? You know, do we change our trophies? Do we, nobody wears any paraphernalia anymore? You know, all of those things. Oh, but I love the red. You know, listen, years ago when I first came here, somebody asked me also, they said, have you heard from any of the Indian community in your history? And I actually haven't. But from the time I got here, 37 years ago, I heard that it used to be fight for Old Dixie. And I met African-American men who were played in the league who and people who were fans. And they've said, we could, Daryl, we love you, but we could never be a Redskins fan. And the history is clear, you know, about Bobby Mitchell and so forth, and how he came here. But I'm saying that's real. That stuff is real. And so this move is real, and it's some people are going to have different opinions about it. But that's okay. We're here now, and I applaud Dan Snyder for what he's doing, trying to move us all forward. That's what I'm grateful for, and I'm humbled to be here. I'm not here to blast knowing I want this, and I don't want anything but right and what's true and what's honest and what's full of integrity. That's all I'm really concerned about, and I believe that the majority of the fans would agree with me on that. So how they go forward, I'd love to be in the conversation, talk about the name, talk about what do we do, because I got jerseys and helmets, and hey, I'm ready to throw them away. Give me another helmet. Give me the new helmet. And because when I ran down the field in Chicago and I chased down Dorsett or whatever the case may be, those things were for the team that was in Washington. So it didn't really matter. It still happened, and it was the team that was in Washington, and so that happened. But to give me a new jersey and a new helmet, that's fine. I'm good with that. I'm not into the argument thing. I'm just into the grateful part of how we can move forward in our society, and this is part of it.
I find that interesting. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to ask you would consider throwing away old jerseys that you used, you wore in games that where you made history as a member of this team?
Yeah, you give me another one, don't you? Give me another one. Give me another one that represents this team. Because that one is offensive. And I remember, I don't know how much time you have, but remember this. A lot of people have just come into revelation. You know, the president said that he gave the people a revelation about Juneteenth. I'm from Texas. Juneteenth, 2.5 years after the war, after slavery, we recognized that it was that slavery. And people had known about different bases named after different Confederate people. It doesn't matter when you find out. Is that you find out. And then when you find out, you humbly move forward. And so, yeah, if I have to move my jersey, move this, I'll get another one. Because the game was still played, and it was played for a team in Washington. And that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing that, and I don't want to be in a, anybody that can argue me, you win. You win. I'm just telling you that we can go the whole way. We can go the whole way, and we can win for society. For our people, for our nation, not black people, white people, Hispanics, Indians, but for all of us. That's what this is really about. This is a part of the continuation of the transformation of a nation. That's the part I'm excited about for my children's children. And so, yes, I'm down with all of that and not in a mean, oh, you know, no, I'm fine. I am totally fine with how we move forward. But yes, all of these things that I've said are for the conversations. They are for the conversation.
Darrell Green, one of only four players in NFL history to play 20 years with the same team. We very much appreciate your perspective. Thank you so much for joining us on NFL Live.
Absolutely. Have a blessed one.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
As we mentioned earlier, Wednesday is the deadline for the NFL's 14 officially designated franchise players to sign long-term deals with their teams. If they don't, they have to play out the final year on their franchise tag salary. The most prominent of this year's bunch is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott. Within about 48 hours, a little more than 48 hours before the deadline for Dak to sign his extension, or else he can't do it until after the season. So, Adam, where do things stand right now with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott?
Well, Dan, let me just give you a big picture view first. There are 14 players who have been franchised. Last year, there were six. Five of them reached long-term deals. This year, again, 14 franchise players. And as multiple people told me over the weekend, they'd be surprised if there was more than a deal or two. And that may be a lot in this year due to the pandemic and the financial uncertainty surrounding all the deals. How do you arrange a long-term deal when you don't know what the salary cap is going to be next year and whether it's going to be flat or down? And so we get to Dak Prescott. To me, he's the one outlier because the Dallas Cowboys have to get him signed. You can't let him be on a franchise tag next year in that uncertainty, in that unpredictability, when his franchise number would actually rise up to $38 million. That would put the Cowboys in a salary predicament, the likes of which they do not want to be in. So now the two sides have had discussions, but not a lot of progress. Dak wants that 4-year contract. The Cowboys want him on a 5-year contract. You see the highest cash earnings there on deals. And again, I don't think the money is an issue in this particular case. It's about the length of time. Dak not wanting to commit past the 4 years. The Cowboys wanting him on 5 years. But the fact of the matter is that deal has to get done for the Dallas Cowboys. Otherwise, there's going to be financial ramifications in the future that's going to make it awfully uncomfortable for them to deal with.
Yeah, a lot of business slowed down, of course, in terms of long-term deals. We don't even have the bulk of the first-round draft picks signed yet, and those contracts are slotted. So everything is slow. Marcus Spears, Mike Tannenbaum, I mentioned they would be joining us. Here they are. Marcus, as a former Cowboy, how important is it in your mind that Dak Prescott have that long-term deal in place instead of having to play the year on that franchise tag?
I think it's vitally important. And listening to Schefter talk about this, you as well, Dan, and Tannenbaum with his general manager experience, he's in a position right now, man, where if you want to leverage the thing and play these one-year deals or these tags, you play them out and you move forward. But when you think about where Dallas is, they've already admitted that they plan on Dak Prescott being their franchise quarterback. And I still go back to what I originally said when we start having this discussion and it heated up about Dak Prescott. If you say he's your guy, you figure out a way to get it done. So here we sit, 2 days away from July 15th, when everybody was saying, oh, it'll happen, it's inevitable, and the deal will get done. We are now 48 hours away from figuring out if this is really going to take place or Dak is going to play for 31.4. Either way it goes, Dak is – I come from it from a football perspective, right? Obviously, you have that danger of injury, that danger of a major decline in your play because of some situation or issue or things not going right, and it gives more justification as to why you shouldn't be paid a certain amount of money. So that's why I've always been on this train that get your money now, get signed now. But with that being said, if they are not going to be willing to go 4 years and 5 years, you play for 31, you play for 38, and then as I looked at that graphic, which is so appalling that Kirk Cousins has made more money than all of those other guys, I'm like, Dak, just wait your time.
That might be good advice, the way it's worked out for Cousins. You certainly can't argue with that. Mike, our resident GM, you heard Adam talk about the uncertain financial landscape in the NFL right now due to the pandemic. We don't know what the salary cap's going to be next year, et cetera. So with all that going on, how would you as a GM go about getting a deal like this done?
Well, that uncertainty is not going to come from Dak Prescott, Dan. It's going to come from the middle class. And Jerry Jones is paying the piper that really started last summer when he paid Zeke Elliott with 2 years to go. He should have taken care of Dak Prescott then. As Marcus and Adam alluded to, Dak has enormous leverage. So there is a lot of uncertainty, certainly on the short term, in terms of maybe the cap going down next year. But I will tell you this, all the teams are planning to still pay their top players. Where we're going to see the money come from is the middle class. It's going to come from veteran backups. I think we'll see a lot more rookies, undrafted free agents make it to balance out the cap, especially if there's a shortfall. But we saw with Patrick Mahomes, we're going to see it with Deshaun Watson, and most certainly we're going to see it with Dak Prescott. They're not the ones that are going to pay that bill.
Again, a little more than 48 hours until that deadline. Only two quarterbacks have played a full season on the franchise tag. Kirk Cousins did it twice in Washington, and Drew Brees did it with the Chargers, and you'll notice that neither of those guys is still with the team in question. So keep that in mind as we go forward with the Dak Prescott situation. Of course, it remains to be seen whether Dak or anyone else will be playing football this year. The NFL and the NFL Players Association are on a phone call this afternoon to discuss reopening procedures in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lots of complex issues to be sorted out with training camp scheduled to open in just a couple of weeks. So, Adam, this call this afternoon, what are some of the issues that the players and the league are discussing?
Dan, we've been talking money, and I think they have to talk money, too. They have to figure out what happens if there are no fans in attendance. What happens in a best-case scenario if there are 25% fans in attendance? Teams' revenues are going to decline. In fact, it is my understanding that with all teams in the league, that it will cost owners more money to play the games with limited or no fans than it will to not have football at all. So there's going to be a cost to the owners, and they have to figure out how to divvy this up amongst the players and the owners to make it fair for both sides. You have the health and safety issues. You have the protocols. You have the testing issues. There are so many different issues that they have to sort through. And again, typically these things don't get done until they have to. Well, with teams scheduled to beginning camp on July 25th, rookies could be in as early as July 18th with Kansas City and Houston, less than a week. That seems like it's going to be increasingly challenging to get done with all the issues that both sides still have to follow. We've heard these conversations occur with basketball, baseball, hockey. Now they're going on in football, and they're about to go into overdrive because training camp is scheduled to start later this month, and so few people believe it actually will unfold that way.
Now, you say July 18th. That is Saturday. That is incredibly close. I want to go back. We showed you a picture of the face shield that they're proposing the players wear. It would be a protective face shield to protect against COVID-19 transmission. So this is among the health and safety initiatives that are being discussed. Interesting to see what the players think of this. This is a picture of it on a helmet. Oakley is making this mouth shield. So the idea is to keep is to help prevent transmission in a sport where guys are breathing in each other's faces all the time. So, again, just one example of what they are talking about, and we'll see whether they can come to an agreement on, you know, are they going to play preseason games, what happens to your contract if you opt out, et cetera, et cetera. So, as you mentioned, Adam, a lot going on there.
Well, Dan, listen, these are issues that both sides have to work through. The medical director of the NFL Players Association, Dr. Tom Mayer, has talked about these masks, and you're talking about everybody trying to obey socially distanced rules, not getting up close, not being in each other's face. The sport itself goes against everything we're all taught to do to protect against the virus. There's huddling with people in close quarters. There's men on the line of scrimmage, helmet to helmet on each play. There's people coming into contact regularly. So all the things that you're not supposed to be doing are done for 60 minutes during a football game. That's what everybody's going to have to work through here and try to figure out a way if they can make this sport any safer as it heads into the season.
Lots of questions still to be answered in the coming weeks and months.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN's Cowboys reporter Todd Archer tweeting the following. Despite Wednesday's deadline to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal, there are no scheduled talks between the Cowboys and the quarterback's agent, Todd France, according to multiple sources. While things can change quickly with a simple phone call, there was expected to be more urgency in getting a deal done that would lock the team and Prescott together for the long term while making the quarterback one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. Clock continuing to tick there. In case you're just joining us, Wednesday is the deadline for the NFL's officially designated franchise players to sign those long-term deals with their teams or be stuck on the franchise tag for this year. Dak Prescott is not the only one who got tagged this year, far from it. So, Adam, would you take us through the latest on some of the other tag players, starting with Titans running back Derrick Henry?
Leading into Derrick Henry, Dan, if there's no urgency to get a Dak Prescott deal done, what urgency is there to get any other franchise player signed, including Derrick Henry? Talks have been slow here. Hasn't been a lot of progress between Derrick Henry and the Titans. Running back is such a difficult position to value in this day and age. We did see Christian McCaffrey get a big deal this offseason, but running backs are just not paid. Dalvin Cook wants a deal. Alvin Kamara wants a deal. Joe Mixon wants a deal. Derrick Henry does tough deals to get. Shaquille Barrett and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are engaged in a dispute right now where Barrett has filed a grievance to be paid as a defensive end. The Buccaneers want to pay him as a franchise linebacker. There's about a $2 million difference per year in that salary. We'll see whether they can resolve that, but no signs of a long-term deal there. And similar story here right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers and their linebacker, Bud Dupree, who the Steelers believe should be franchised as a linebacker, and Bud Dupree and his agents believe should be franchised as a defensive end. Again, there's a difference there in the salary of about $2 million. Bud Dupree, Shaq Barrett, they want to be paid more than they have so far at this point in time.
Yeah, interesting aspect of all this. The defensive end franchise tag is about $17.8 million, and the linebacker one's about $15.8 million. But in these cases, the only difference is these guys play in 3-4 defensive fronts as opposed to 4-3 defensive fronts. So they're technically outside linebackers, but they're all pass rushers, whether you're defensive end, outside linebacker, whatever. Matt Judon with the Ravens, when he signed his tender, signed for a number right in between, about $16.8 million. So there was a compromise there. But, Mike, this is dumb, right? I mean, like, these guys are all edge rushers. It doesn't really matter whether you're standing up when the play starts or your hands on the ground when the play starts. Shouldn't this be fixed by now?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what Matt Judon and the Baltimore Ravens did is very sensible. They compromised. And their athleticism and versatility, while they're mostly going forward, as you alluded to, Dan, the fact that they could drop in space makes this somewhat more complicated. But I can assure you, in both Shaq Barrett's case and Bud Dupree's case, neither one of those teams wants to be across the table from one of their best players in a grievance on a cap that's approaching $200 million. To split the difference and compromise is very sensible from a cap standpoint, but much more important from a goodwill standpoint. But you're right, long term, this is something that the league and the union should clean up, because we're going to see this each year where we have these guys standing up, but they are pass rushers. And it's just something that needs to be worked out. But I don't think either one of these grievances will go all the way through. I think common sense will prevail. And like with Baltimore, I would assume both teams will split the difference.
And, hey, it could be worse. They could be stuck as defensive tackles who get sacks, like Kansas City's Chris Jones, another franchise-tagged player. Adam, what's the latest with Chris Jones and the Chiefs?
Dan, there's been some dialogue between the two sides. Nothing is imminent at this point in time in terms of a long-term deal. Obviously, Chris Jones has been trying for a couple of years now to get the long-term deal that he desires. The Chiefs would like to keep him, but they have not made a lot of progress so far. They still have roughly 48 hours to try to get something done. But once Wednesday comes and goes without a new deal, as you mentioned, Chris Jones cannot sign a long-term extension for the remainder of the year, and that would seem to seal his departure from Kansas City after this season.
Marcus, I feel like I probably know this answer, but if there's no deal, should Chris Jones go to camp?
Nope, he should not. So you knew the answer, Dan. You're talking about a top three guy in his position, and when you think about the top D tackles in the NFL, is Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, and Chris Jones. He is as disruptive as anybody. He has more of an impact as any player on any team in the NFL. So, look, I understand it. The Chiefs just played Mahomes. Everything in Kansas City is about Patrick Mahomes. Chris Jones is a vital part. He was vital to that defense improving on their way to win a Super Bowl. He made game-changing type plays in that Super Bowl to secure a trophy. So maybe a little bit of this is personal for me, but in Chris Jones's case, on the open market, he would be a hot commodity. I don't understand what the hangup is. I don't understand what the problem is in Kansas City. You got a guy that has just signed in your quarterback, a deal for you to be able to keep these type of guys long term in order to move forward and winning more Super Bowls. Chris Jones shouldn't show up.
Back out to the pass rushers for a second. Adam, what's the latest with Yannick Ngakoue and Jacksonville?
Danny still would like a trade. The problem is he wants a trade and he wants a new contract. And as we've documented during the show and elsewhere, it's difficult to get a long-term deal. So he may have to adjust his expectations, modify them some, and hope that while he may find a new landing spot, that extension is going to be tougher for him to get, and especially if he can't get it done by Wednesday. But he also has not signed his franchise tender. He has said he doesn't want to play in Jacksonville anymore. He's made the organization well aware of that. I think Jacksonville would be open to trading him for the right offer and the right offer only. But so far, that has yet to materialize.
Interesting, of the last eight franchise tag players who did not reach long-term deals, seven of them didn't play the following season with that same team. The only exception, DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys. So, if they don't get long-term deals done, could be curtains for them in their current city.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All week long here at ESPN, we are unveiling the Madden player rating. Madden NFL 21 player ratings. This game comes out at the end of August. We're previewing it. Each day we're focusing on one position, and today we are taking the quarterbacks. We're going to start out with the quarterbacks, including our first member of this year's 99 club, which will obviously be the last one we get to. You can guess who that is. Number 10, though, Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, he can run around. He can break sacks. Boy, the graphics look good. Marcus, what do we think about Carson Wentz at number 10?
At number 10, I'm fine with that. Look, Carson Wentz has to put together the entire season. His talent is elite as far as what he can do as a quarterback, but 10, I'm good with that.
9 is Dak Prescott, who's been mentioned multiple times on this show already. He's rated 84 overall, just like Wentz. Seems like we're always talking Dak versus Wentz.
Graz, don't let Dan Orlovsky see that.
Nah, he's going to be upset about that. Number 8 is Deshaun Watson. He's an 86 overall. He's the highest break sack rating in the game. I know, right? 8, Deshaun Watson.
What?
I know. Who's got this? 7 better? We'll find out.
You know what? Sometimes rankings make things irrelevant.
Sometimes. Matt Ryan comes in at 7. He's an 87 overall. No quarterback has more 300-yard passing games over the last two seasons.
Not every damn quarterback got Julio Jones.
I guess that's a good point.
I'll believe it at that.
Number 6, a guy named Aaron Rodgers, you may have heard of. He's an 89 overall, the only quarterback in NFL history to throw more than 300 touchdowns without 100 interceptions.
A-Rod's supposed to still be in the 90s, man.
Man,
you know,
I'll
we talk about his decline and all that. He's not doing well, but he should be a 90.
We're all getting old, except this guy, Tom Brady, number 5, 90 overall.
Oh.
New team, same Brady, new weapons in Tampa Bay. Tom Brady, number 5.
How can you hate on the GOAT, Dan? But come on, man.
5's a good ranking.
Aaron Rodgers, an 89, and Brady, a 90.
Number 4 is Drew Brees. What do you think about that?
I like it, Drew. I like Drew being there. Drew still throwing touchdowns. But I would argue, too, that if Aaron Rodgers had Michael Thomas, he'd be ranked 4th.
I wonder if Aaron would argue the same thing. Number 3 is MVP Lamar Jackson. His 96 speed makes him the fastest quarterback in Madden history. He's also the guy on this year's cover.
Oh, yeah, the 96 is easy on the speed, but Lamar's in a good spot, good ranking. That's about where I'll have him.
My 14-year-old kills me with that guy. Number 2 is Russell Wilson, 97 overall. Playmaking skills, accuracy, yep. Consistency, the whole package there, Russell.
Yeah, Dan, that one throw alone we watched before this highlight was enough, but he also went in San Francisco and beat the 49ers at home.
All right, how many people out there guessed number one? Patrick Mahomes is the 99 overall. What more can we even say about Patrick?
I get it that Madden got the 99 club and they love all of that, but if it's ever been a time, it's supposed to be a historical 100. It's Patrick Mahomes. He should have been 100, man.
On the scale. Part of an elite group, one of only five quarterbacks in Madden's 99 rating club in the 30-plus year history of the game, joining Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning, who has been a 99 six times. In terms of the quarterbacks, Marcus, did they get it right?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, they didn't get it right, Dan. But you know, you know how much I hate rankings, and you know how I think they're all wrong unless they're mine. I thought Aaron Rodgers should be ahead of Tom Brady for sure, from a talent skill based standpoint. Now, I don't know if Madden puts in all of the team dynamics and all of that, or is this just an individual ranking? Because this is, if it is an individual ranking, everybody know damn well Aaron Rodgers better than Tom Brady at this point in their careers. But if you're adding all the talent around them, obviously we know what's in Tampa Bay. So, no, I don't agree with the ranking. Some of it I agree with, and Patrick Mahomes should have been a damn 100. Why not? We just said Patrick Mahomes, the greatest player to ever play the game of football. Make him 100 and break Madden precedents, too.
They don't have hundreds, but we appreciate you
creating a new one,
for
Dan.
Your guy. It's been a while since anything good has happened for Patrick Mahomes, 3-4 days at least. We got summer camp video of Tyreek Hill. That's not Tyreek Hill. The guy that caught it is not Tyreek Hill. The guy that thought he was going to catch it, Tyreek Hill. Marcus, you're Tyreek Hill. What are you thinking about this? Got mossed.
Dan G, I'm so happy he ain't getting paid to do that. That's a pretty good catch by that kid, man. I wish Randy Moss was on right now to say the famous words that we all know what would be coming if that clip was being played during football season. Nope. Golly.
Dan, if the Chiefs don't get a deal done with Chris Jones, they could fit that kid under the cap.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, it's only going to go up with videos like that.
Hey, Shefty. They need him in Green Bay.
We got to talk about Cam Newton. Cam Newton's motivating himself on social media. He took to Instagram to address the doubters while pumping up Patriots fans and pledging that the NFL is about to see a Cam Newton they haven't seen before.
They ain't never seen this Cam. They ain't never seen him. Because you want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam, the on Cam, tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
You know what I'm saying?
It's over with for him. He ain't the same player.
Gentlemen, thoughts?
I'm ready to bust out my suit jacket. That's number one. I feel everything Cam's saying, man. And then anytime a guy can muster up that much spit in his mouth, he's serious about what he's talking about. So Cam finna go crazy. He with an organization that he's about to have a revival. I believe everything that Cam is putting out in these videos is to put everybody on notice on what type of season he's about to have. I'ma leave it at that before I get physical with my camera right now.
It works out for Cam and it works out for New England. Think about this, Dan. You think about this. The Patriots have Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer under contract for a combined $2.775 million in base salary. We were talking about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, $31.4 million. 2.775 for Cam Stidham and Hoyer.
How do they do it?